authors. I'm Joanne Morrell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode.
Hello, authors.
I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is with Joanne Merrick on empowering readers to make informed decisions. And we chat what drove her to write her book, Game On, Is Management Your Best Career Play? And why this conversation is so important right now. Key questions and tools introduced in the book to help people make more informed decisions about their career direction. How Game On helps shift the pressure narrative to move into management and put the power back into the individual's hands, consulting through the leadership recipe, and how Joanne sees books like hers playing a role in bridging the gap between career ambition and leadership readiness, and Joanne's advice to authors and professionals looking to write their book based on their experiences to tie in with all they do, and much more. So in my author venture this week, I was part of the Armadale Arts Festival. I presented at Armadale Public Library on Monday night, and I was presenting Discover the Power of Podcasting. And I have to say, it was my first evening session I've ever done. So I was on 6:07 at their library. And what a difference for turnout when you do an evening session. Obviously, people can make it. In terms of numbers, there was about 30 people, and which is a good turnout overall, especially for a Monday night when it's cold. A good age range and a good, you know, there was probably teenagers, late teens. You know, I'd say about 19, between 19 and 20, early 20s, up to, there was a couple of older ladies. Shout out if you're listening and you've discovered the podcast, the Armadale Writers ladies. There was some gorgeous ones in the crowd. And yeah, just all different. Some men, some women. Yeah, I was really impressed. And beautiful library. Every library I visit is absolutely lovely. And the staff was gorgeous. Shout out Bianca for hosting the event. I felt so at ease there talking about this. It's definitely, you know, obviously podcasting 4 years this month, the Hybrid Author Podcast has been running for, and I'll talk about it on later, but I will be doing a special episode next week to touch on all I have achieved and all the podcasts is, you know, basically podcasting for the last 4 years, because it's no mean feat and I'm so proud of my efforts and where I've come. The talk went really well. Lots of good questions, lots of good feedback. I hope to do a lot more of those sessions. That is the second session I've done on podcasting, and I think a lot of people are interested as well. And it was good to see the type of people that were there. There was a lady who'd already started a podcast. Most people wanted to, so that was good. That was where my talk I always feel is best fit. And then other people who wanted to appear on one. So it was quite varied and very good. I have started working with virtual assistants this week, and it's surreal. It's really surreal, like more on a regular basis. So obviously touching base, finding processes, the way that the workflow is going to run between us. And it's actually really nice to be working with other people in this capacity, and then things are getting done that I always do. And I thought initially it would be hard to let go, but they're great and they could do a really good job, and yeah, probably better than me. It's just amazing. There it is. There's your stuff done. And it's just like, wow. Okay. I'm not going to say something I should have done ages ago, because I wasn't in that space. And I just, yeah. And a lot of people I think would say, well, I can't afford it or whatnot. And it's like, well, I'm in a position where this is the next step for me, and my business is never going to grow if I don't do this. And also I think the case is where, okay, well, I've got to pay these people. Where am I getting the money from? And that is going to be the kick up the ass that you need to keep your VA for sure, if they're worth it. And so far, for me, the process is, it's been great this week. So it's been really novel, sort of back and forth. And I, you know, I've been in positions before where, you know, I might do a podcast episode on this as time goes on, if this works out and it's a regular thing, and just giving some feedback and tips, because I've been in roles, the technical script writing role I was in, where it's been collaborative work with other people. delegation, especially about processes and things. So I'm very aware I don't want to just shove everything across to them at once with instruction. And what's also good is, before I finish that, just to say, I'm letting them do one step at a time, like to get the grasp of my work and then do it one bit at a time rather than giving everything over. And in a way, I think that's partly to do with me not ready to hand over, obviously, everything. There's still bits that I need to do, but I'm giving over as much as I think that I don't need to do. It's also allowing me to create documents, which I have for some things, but it's, you know, processes for my business in terms of social media guides and all sorts of stuff, branding. And it's, yeah, I mean, I'm a bit chaotic in the way I work. You should have all this stuff on hand, but I don't. I keep it all in my head or I've got it here, but you can end up doubling up on work. So far, so good. I'll keep you posted. Today's sponsor is Sanguine Press, my imprint of feel-good, fast-paced, emotionally charged women's contemporary fiction. The writer, the hairdresser, and the nurse intertwines the struggles and dynamics of three women's working, family, and romantic relationships, leaning on their longtime friendship to help get them through. And my short nonfiction for authors, Author Fears and How to Overcome Them. How many times have you said your writing's crap or shied away from calling yourself an author? Take comfort in knowing your author fears are valid. Other writers feel the same way you do, but are not letting fear stop them from putting themselves out there. We are all feeling the fear, but doing what we love anyway. And you can too. And freelance writing quick tips for fast success. Starting a freelance writing business? Place yourself in the pro position before you've met with your first client. Invest 1 hour gaining 60 plus quick tips to save yourself time, money, and stress. Discovering the little but important factors previously unconsidered, having never worked directly with clients before. Books come in an ebook, print, and some audio and range from $10, $15 to $28 each. Joanne Merrick offers over 25 years of global experience in helping individuals and organizations thrive. She has delivered transformative leadership programs across 5 continents and 22 countries, combining her expertise in neuroscience with a passion for building management and leadership capabilities. As founder of The Leadership Recipe, Joanne designs impactful programs that enhance communication, emotional intelligence, and team performance. Her global perspective, shaped by living in Australia, Hong Kong, and now the USA, draws on her leadership roles at major organizations like Deloitte, Amazon, and Juniper Networks. This diverse background fuels her fresh, practical approach to leadership development. In her debut book, Game On, Is Management Your Best Career Play? Joanne empowers readers to make an informed decision about stepping into a management role. Wow, welcome to the Hybrid Author Podcast, Joanne.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Joanne. Thank you. And kindred spirit with the same name, high five.
Yes. Yeah, we don't confuse everybody listening which Joe is talking, but yes. Well, yes. Congratulations on all your success. And, you know, amongst all that, how did you come to be a writer?
Oh, you know, Joe, I wanted to write a book ever since I was about 7. It's one of those things, it's kind of like intuition, you know, where you just kind of feel that something is right. I had that as early as the age of 7, where I actually went to a book launch myself of one of my grandparents' neighbors. Her name was Bonnie Bates. She was in Australia, in Melbourne at the time. And Bonnie created the Lifeline organization, the customer service, the organization that obviously is in suicide prevention. She started that and then wrote a book about it. I went to the book launch and I still have very, very clear memories of that, of, you know, piles of books around us, people holding their, you know, cups of tea and eating their biscuits. And I thought, wow, this is pretty special. I'd love to write a book one day. And it just all stuck. It just stuck with me forever. I just didn't know what I was going to write the book about. And eventually, you know, came across my management and leadership development career and wanted to give back as part of my legacy of being involved in such a significantly important role and a career journey that I've thoroughly enjoyed.
That's amazing. I love that story. I haven't heard one like that before, especially from a young age. A lot of people, it comes from reading and things, but to hear it was actually from a launch of a book, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, who would have known? You know, sometimes you find yourself in situations and you just have a special feeling that it's particularly meaningful for you. And that was one of mine. and it stuck with me for a very, very long time. So 50 years or so in the making.
That's amazing. And anybody listening who's thinking of not having a book launch, you should have one, because it sounds like it's an inspiration to all.
Yes, you never know how your actions might inspire someone else in some way, shape or form. And I'm sure Bonnie Bates would never have known, really, you know, that she would have had that impact on me, but she most certainly did, and I'm forever grateful.
Your book, Game On, is Management Your Best Career Play, encourages readers to pause and assess whether leadership is truly the right next step. You spoke about what drove you to write this book, your experiences and things, but why do you think this conversation is so important right now?
I truly believe that a manager role is one of the most important roles out there. You know, it's even in my world kind of akin to being a parent in some respects. It has the opportunity to have a significant impact on people and people's lives. I really feel that it's underestimated in terms of the impact that it can have. And having been in management and leadership development training for over 20 years, I got to a point where it was kind of like, I need to find a way to do more rather than continue to just run management and leadership development programs. I really tried to find a way to step back and think, what can I do to contribute to solving the challenge that I even personally had faced in having not so great managers? And obviously in my life, I've had fantastic managers as well, and everything in between. But I really wanted to create something that people could get a glimpse into what the role itself really entails before diving in. I feel that a lot of people simply fall into a management role. They see it as a great thing, and it is a great thing. It's a promotion to something new. But I wonder if they think about it, what the actual role itself entails. My book pulls back the curtain on that a little bit, so they can spend a few hours reading to get some real insight and real understanding and a real feel for what the role itself entails before they dive in. So rather than the typical trust fall exercise joke that so many people engage in these days, to be a little bit more informed and have that information really help them make the best decisions for their career, for their family, for their lives, ultimately. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I have to say, I haven't really thought about management. I have never really given management a good deep dive myself. And as a parent, like you were saying, you're kind of thrust into that role, aren't you? You just paddle on without really assessing it, I guess. Yeah.
Absolutely. My fear is that people find themselves in a job they dislike. The research is staggering in this area. Gallup just released some research. In my book, I talk about their research from 2024, but they've even just released newer research in the areas that suggests that there's the 27% of managers are either disengaged or actively disengaged in their role. So when you think about that, you know, how would it feel to have a disengaged manager when they have such a significant impact on you and your career? You know, it's really quite staggering. Yeah. And I don't think managers really, you know, so I don't think some managers really think through enough. And then they find themselves in the job not liking it. And once you're in a management role, Joe, it's not that easy to get out of without feeling like you've failed in some way, or for fear that other people might perceive that you've failed in some way. And I don't want that to happen to your listeners, and I don't want it to happen to anyone who might be able just to read a few pages of the book and get some insight.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with my audience, you know, authors, writers sometimes can be quite a sole person career, so they're effectively the manager of their book business, but it's not something that authors, especially myself, think of. And then you're thrust into that role trying to sell your book and everything else once you've written it. So it's definitely need to give it some thought. Well, you know, it sounds like it is a bit of your book is a bit of a self-discovery process. Do you have key tools and questions and things like that you introduce in the book that help people with their decisions and wondering whether this is the right path for them?
Yes, absolutely. I did my best at doing that. First of all, there's a character in the book whose name is Zoe. And Zoe is an engineer who herself is thinking about becoming a manager. So at the end of each chapter, you basically get some insight into what Zoe's thinking based on what she has read from that chapter. So I've tried to look at the reader's perspective, you know, through Zoe's eyes. So hopefully there'll be something gained from that. as well. At the end of each, I call them quests because it's kind of game on. I liken your career to a bit of a game, albeit a very serious game. So rather than chapters, I decided to call them quests. And so at the end of each quest, there's not only Zoe's reaction, but there's a reader's quest in there as well. And that is a summary of each chapter and some thoughts for the reader to ponder and answer for themselves before moving on to the next chapter and obviously more content. So there's a little bit of a journey in there through Zoe's eyes and then the personal journey of completing each quest. And then also at the end of the book, because it is, you know, to your point, definitely designed as a decision-making guide, I created an assessment. And I created the assessment based on about four key management skills that I identify in the book. And out of those four skills, they're kind of broken down into other skills. But I ask the reader to assess themselves at two levels. First of all, to what degree they enjoy engaging in those skills. And secondly, to where their current skill level might be as it relates to each of those skills. And I had some fun recently with AI, Joe. I created an online version of the assessment as well, which is available from my website so that, you know, folks can go in there. And there's, the way I designed it was that there's a 360 element to it as well. So they can do a self-assessment, but they can also go in and pop into other people's email addresses and send them a request for that, for other people to assess them on those skills and then have that show up in the report. So I tried to make it as engaging and interesting and real life as I could to give them some food for thought. And they might come out of the assessment going, yes, absolutely, this is definitely where I see myself and what I want to do in the future. Or they might learn a little bit more about themselves in the context of how much they do enjoy or don't enjoy a particular performing or engaging in particular skills. So for them, it might be, yes, management is for me, but maybe not now. And others might be, as we say in Australia, right? this is really interesting, but not for me. So that is hopefully a tool that folks will be able to walk away with and come back to from time to time, right, as they grow and develop in their careers and as they personally change. So
yeah,
it's not saying never, you know. It's just saying maybe not now or yes or nah.
That's it. Yeah, I think that's really clever and it sounds extremely engaging. Have you read books set out like that before in terms of, you know, sort of self-development and things like having how you've laid it out? I think it's really cool.
Possibly, but I couldn't name one, you know, so maybe at some subliminal level I've come across something like that. But, you know, Joe, there are so many books written out there about management and leadership. And I wanted to make something that was practical. My ultimate hope is that large organizations or corporations or even colleges, or I've had some interest from universities, start thinking what resources they can give to, you know, future leaders. And maybe this is one of them. So for organizations like that I have been part of, incorporate this book into their talent management strategy. So during their succession planning or their talent management initiatives, for those folks that they do flag as being potential leaders or potential managers within their organizations, just to give them a copy of the book, you know, and that way they'll be more certain. And the organization will be more certain and everyone will be more happy.
Yeah.
Or happier, whatever that word is. Yeah.
So you see it sort of as a like a training, I guess, for organizations to upskill on their management to make sure that everyone's where they need to be in the right frame of mind and getting it all done. That's fantastic. That's really good.
Yeah, it's less surprises, right? You know. So people don't walk into a role and think, oh, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. You're telling me I have to have difficult conversations. You're telling me I have to give feedback.
Yeah.
You're telling me I might have to let people go. You know, you're telling me I now have to promote other people. You know, you're telling me that it's not about me anymore, that it's all about other people. I mean, these are all things that are true about being managers that maybe a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah. Do you think some people go into management roles just because of the paycheck? Like they, you know, they see that and then they don't realize sorry, exactly what you're saying, what it entails. And then they're a bit like, oh, and then they're running.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, in my experience, they do. I think it is definitely seen as a promotion into, you know, that one of the myths I talk about, misconceptions or myths, and one is that great managers or being promoted to a manager actually makes you a great leader. And this is not true. Just because you have a management title or a manager title doesn't necessarily mean you're a great leader. It just means that you've got people reporting to you that you now have a lot of responsibility over. Frankly, you know, there's a lot to being a great manager. There's a lot to being a great leader. And in my book, I define the difference, or how I see the differences between management and leadership. But managers truly need to do both. They need to be great managers, and they also have to be great leaders. And the key management skills that I identify in the book, they need to be able to draw on those skills at any given time, under any given circumstance, with little to no preparation.
Yeah.
So they need to build the skills over time, and it can be a lifelong project for folks. So they need to be ready for that as well.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've used a lot of your experience, you know, firsthand in the book, which is what makes your book unique. So that's fantastic. You also consult in learning development through the Leadership Recipe. How do you see books like yours playing a role in bridging the gap between career ambition and leadership readiness?
Yes, I think it's a great question. How do we ever know we're ready to be a leader, Joe? You know, like, how do we know? Do we portray certain traits or have certain skills before stepping into the role? So that kind of sets us up for success. Or once we're in the role, do we then kind of grow and develop those skills? Is it a nature versus nurture activity? You know, there's a lot that goes into thinking about being a manager and a leader. And I think the journey itself is very personal. You know, I really do. The thinking that management is easy, that being a leader is easy, is actually false. With the Leadership Recipe, I really try to open folks' eyes to that fact. And I run a program called So You Want to Be a Manager. And part of that is so that I can stand up in front of groups or over Zoom sessions with my hands on my hips saying, so you want to be a manager, you know, exclamation point, which is actually so it's not a question, it's kind of a statement. And it's actually the title of the first chapter of the book. And that's to take folks through this journey of what it's actually like. Yeah. And that's what we do at the Leadership Recipe. We run those kinds of programs as well as programs to enhance management capability, communication skills, emotional intelligence, coaching skills, programs, those sorts of things. Because like I said before, it's a lifelong journey. It's something that, you know, if anyone is out there thinking about becoming a manager, know that there's a lot of skills that need to be learned. And they're skills that, just because it's the very nature of a management role, you typically learn on the job. Some might have heard of the 70-20-10 rule, that 70% of what we learn is on the job, 20% from coaches or mentors or significant others in our lives. And corporate educator myself, only 10% of education comes from formal classroom learning programs. I completely get that and I understand it. But that 10% is super important, because you get to practice them in the classroom so that you feel much more comfortable, you're in control, you feel more confident to practice those skills with your teams as a result of the training.
That's amazing. And classroom learning, even though there's so much new technology and there's so many different things, and that's still super important. I'd still, you know, that human element and
So it's interesting. You know, I wonder from my experience, folks still want to do a lot of training virtually. And I completely understand that. I started my career 20 years ago in the classroom, training adults in the corporate environment. And then, of course, with COVID and everything else, we've kind of gone more remote. But I do wonder if we will eventually get back into the classroom, or a lot of what I do is more of a hybrid approach. So you put a whole program together and there are elements of it which can absolutely be done virtually. And there are other elements of it that we do make more of a face-to-face experience for participants to enable them to, you know, connect and engage with each other. It's important.
But they're doing,
especially maybe to celebrate the end of a course, right?
You've
been working together for
absolutely
3 or 4 months or something, you know, a couple of hours every month, and you get to the end of it and you're like, yes, we did it and we learned and we had a great experience, and wasn't that fantastic?
Yeah, I think it's so important, and I think that it will definitely become more prominent the more that, you know, that all this AI technology and all technologies are, you know, thrust upon us. And Yeah, absolutely. That's really important as well. I love that you do it hybrid. I think that's so great that you incorporate all those elements and things. That's fantastic. In terms of the book, Game On Management, Your Best Career Play, how did you come up with the title?
Oh, you know, I struggled with that a lot. Like I said, I wanted to differentiate myself. I think because it was a book that was about helping people make a decision, you know, I went through all different versions of it, like a decision-making guide to management development. I went to another title was Unleash Your Management Potential, you know, a guide for future leaders. You know, I don't know. But I like to think I'm a pretty down-to-earth, straightforward kind of person. Certainly some of the feedback I've got from the book is that it is a little bit more authentic. It's kind of comes across as very real. Because that reflects me, right? You know, so that was good. And I wanted the game on element because I do believe that there's a number, I do see similarities between a career and games. And I grew up in and around game arcades, and a lot of the folks that will be maybe thinking about becoming a manager right now, possibly in their late 20s from my research, you know, early 30s, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I know that they grew up around about the time when playing games on computers was just something that you did, you know. So I wanted to bring in that game on element to differentiate myself and kind of to make it a little bit more interesting for that audience, you know, from the audience's perspective. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And then how, obviously, since you've had to manage planning the content, writing it, and, you know, as an author in the publishing experience, have you picked from this experience of, you know, putting the book out there, have you picked up any different management or leadership skills that have been quite different from your corporate roles and what you do with the leadership recipe? You're effectively the author managing this type of work. Have you found anything different from this sort of industry, from this side of it?
I've definitely worked out where I have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
My weak, you know, I don't want to say my weaknesses, but areas that I have growth opportunities, I've definitely realized a few of those for sure. I think thinking about the book from my audience's perspective or from my potential audience's perspective, and then researching what it is I thought was right or what my intuition was telling me. You know, I spoke to a lot of leaders in writing this book. I really put myself out there. It took me a long time because I was working full time as well. So it took me 5 years to write the book. Yeah. But never give up, never surrender. You know, if you have a story to tell, if you have a book to get out there, don't let anyone or anything get in your way, and just believe in yourself and know that you have something special to put out in this world. And I don't think I'd ever really thought of myself in that way until actually one of my readers wrote me an email not long after I launched the book. They picked it up really quickly and read it really quickly because it's a quick read. You know, you can easily read it in a day. I designed it that way.
People don't have a lot of time.
That's why I also did the reader's quest at the back, because fundamentally I would love them to read the whole book. But if they just read the reader's quest summaries at the end, they would get a lot of the key messaging, and hopefully that would be curious, make them curious enough to want to read the rest of the book. But if I was staying true to my personal quest of getting this into as many organizations as I could incorporate it into their talent management strategy, I needed to make it easy for those companies to pick up the book and easier for folks to read the book as well. So for me, it was a completely different way of thinking from what I had done in the past. And I really started to think about what is the legacy that I want to leave behind. Unfortunately, in the writing of the book, I had 5 very close family or friends pass away.
Oh.
And I dedicate the book to all of them very early on. And what it did was it gave me personally a sense of mortality myself. That thinking went into the writing, my real messaging, and how I wanted the book to play a role in the lives of other people.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but it sounds like, you know, lots of powerful messages are coming through from that as well. It's a very powerful little book. You've shared so much, Joanne, and that's a wonderful advice. Do you have any other last advice you want to share with authors if they want to write from their experience or in the self-development side?
For me, like, honestly, Jo, I wrote this book about 3 times.
Yep.
Maybe that's why it took me 5 years. I don't know. But, you know, I just got my thoughts out there. And then I thought, how can I differentiate this? How can I make this relevant and true for my reader? Who is my audience? I think you need to get super clear on that as well. And then be prepared to flex yourself in terms of the messages that you want to get out there and the messaging associated with what you've got to say. And for me, this book kind of morphed into what it is today. And I think it's much better than it was 5 years ago when I started writing it. There's no doubt about that. The other thing that I do or did throughout the process is make time for writing. I would sometimes take myself away on writing retreats, completely away from my family. I couldn't be away from them for too long. So if I took myself away from them, typically they'd come and join me on like a Saturday night or something for dinner. I couldn't be too far away from them. But I did get out there during my day in a favorite location, which for me is on the beach, and just spent some time with myself thinking through, you know, everything that I mentioned before. And that really helped. I think that was really inspiring for me. And then I started talking about my book very early on because for me, to my friends and even to my managers and other close people around me, because for me, that held me accountable.
To
actually get it done.
Yeah. So. Oh, no, that's fantastic advice. I really, really like that you've ticked time out. And I think it's hilarious that your family followed you.
I need time out, but I really don't.
I just keep thinking, you know, in 5 years is, you know, sometimes for someone's first book, it's sometimes can be the norm. But all I can think is 5 years, you must have thought, you're game on, you know, 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the game on bit didn't come until about 3 years in.
Yeah.
But it was part of one of those conversations, just part of a thinking kind of self-reflection process of how might I make this book different? Mm. And by the way, that's another tool or another idea that I give to managers. And also I would maybe share this with your leaders as well. It's not how am I going to make this book different? It's how might I make this book difference? Because it's not how can I, how should I, it's how might I.
Right. Yeah.
And just the simple change in words from can, should to might just has a very, very different impact on the brain and creates much more of an opportunity for innovative thought.
Yep.
So you never know what might come back, you know, what might come to mind when you start asking yourself questions like that.
Yeah.
How might I?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that, you know, we can focus on, as writers, we can focus on the writing and things like that and forget how important the thinking process is. And obviously, you know, the research process is very important as well. But thank you so much, Joanne. You've honestly shared so much. Your book sounds absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure our audience would love to know where they can get it, you know, in stores or on and offline.
Sure. Well, it's on Amazon. So just do a search for Game On, Is Management Your Best Career Play? And it's also, and you can also get access to it from my website, which is theleadershiprecipe.com. And on my website is also that assessment that I mentioned is in the book and that I've made available to folks virtually as well as part of an AI tool. So they can also contact me at joanne@theleadershiprecipe.com. And I'd love to hear from my readers. I'd love to hear from potential authors and, you know, more than happy to share as, you know, as much of my learnings as I possibly can.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jo. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
So there you have it, folks. The truly exceptional Joanne Merrick. And even if you think that management and leadership doesn't apply to you, if you want to have a career as an author, it truly does. It kind of sneaks up on you without realizing you have to take charge and manage your marketing and promotion as a traditionally published author. And as a self-publisher, you have to do it all. Manage the editing, the product promotion, product production, marketing, sales, the lot. So therefore, you are managing every aspect of your business and putting you at the forefront of it in leadership. Next time on the Hybrid Author Podcast, it's a loner sode from me on 4 years of the Hybrid Author Podcast and turning the big 40. I am 40 next week. And it's just kind of crept up on me. It really has. And yeah, I won't dive too much into thoughts about it. I'll keep it all for the following episode, but that's coming up next week. So for now, I wish you well in your author adventure. That's it from me. It's bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you're further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.